Hamish, when it comes to a farmer starting, farmers farming conventionally, where did you start?
Okay, it depends a little bit on what you're doing. The first thing, whatever you're doing, is just to get the preparations out, because that's where not only does the process start, but your learning starts. It's like learning to drive a car. You can read all the theory, but in the end, you have to get behind the steering wheel and give yourself and everyone else a fight. So the sooner you start, the better. It's fairly easy to do. As I say, if you use the 500, the horn manure, you're using 20, 40 grams per hectare stirred for an hour. I recommend people start with a thing we call the Bionic Soil Activator, which is a mixture of the horn manure, the manure concentrate, which I described earlier, and some horn clay, and we put a bit of silica in it these days. So you've got one mix that's got everything in it, about 200, 250 grams per hectare. We use 30, 35 litres of water. That's just the practical amount that it takes to get it out over a hectare. If you're using an aircraft, you'll probably halve that amount of water. It doesn't matter if you want to double it. That's just more water to carry around the land. So then you spray that out, and again, we use a pipe cap with some holes drilled in it. We can sell them to you for $20-$30, but it's nothing more than a pipe cap with some holes drilled to get a bit of a spray. Some people even use their fire hoses off their fire units. And then you need a tank, and if you've got a fire unit, you can use the pump and the tank. If you haven't, you can get yourself one of those 1,000-litre shuttles and a little 12-volt electric pump. For $1,000, you should be able to set yourself up with that, no trouble. The stirring, there are different methods of stirring. You can hand stir. There's stirring machines. There are flow forms. The flow form is the more recent and is the one that I recommend. It's very easy. To be able to spray about 20 hectares an hour, your flow form will cost you about $3,500, something like that, between $3,000 and $4,000, depending on where you are. It won't break the bank for a commercial farmer, that's for sure. If you're in the aircraft capacity, I think it costs them about $12,000 or $13,000 to set themselves up capital wise to get to be able to do 6,000 acres a day. So again, it's not huge bickies to get yourself into the game. So flow forms are the way to go, and a spray rig on the back of a ute or trailer or quad bike or whatever. The scale is just the scale of your farm, and as I say, farmers know their business. If they've got 10,000 acres, they'll know how to sink it into 10,000 acres. If they've got 2 acres, they'll know how to sink it into 2 acres. It's not a problem. But it's actually very simple to start. Just get the preparations out. Don't worry greatly about the moon planting calendar, et cetera, that stage necessarily. Just make it happen. Don't pressure yourself trying to get it out on a particular day, because sure as heck something will get in your way and then you'll feel not too good about it. But so my suggestion is just start, and as you find your way into it and your observation of what happens grows, then you can refine it. And farmers aren't very good at keeping records, but if you can keep records of what you do and what days, that will help you greatly with any of the calendar work. If I just move to the calendar.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
You finished what you're saying. Sorry, Hamish, I'll ask you another question.
Okay, I was going to move on to the calendar we can do that now.
Before you do that, just on that question I asked you, how does the farmer start? Does he start with getting instructions on how to make the cow manure and putting their horns in the ground, or does he actually get the material from people like you or the BD Association, or how does he actually start getting the materials?
Yeah, thank you. Excellent question. Look, I supply everything you need to get going. You can get it through the Biodynamic Association in Bellingen. There's an increasing number of regional Biodynamic Associations. and I recommend that just get it from wherever and try and make contact with your local people, because if we can encourage people to come together spring and autumn to make the preparations together, it's an excellent learning experience. It's an excellent opportunity to share experiences and knowledge and learn from each other, because really that's how biomimics will grow in not only area but in depth, in understanding what we're doing. As more people do it and share what they experience, that will be the learning. It's not going to be something you're going to learn out of books. That's my experience of 40 years. Learning out of books is fine, but learning about biomimics is really about doing it and sharing what you're doing and learning from each other. So, yes, you don't have to make the preparations yourself to start. Just buy them. They're not that greatly expensive. The soil activator is around $20 a hectare. That's what your product cost is, which, that really doesn't break the bank. So that's the way to start. Then you can start immediately. Then if you want to, or can do, acquire horns and certainly make your manure concentrate as soon as you can. You can buy the compost preparations to put in it and gradually build up your self reliance, so to speak. But to start, just buy it and get started. That's my recommendation.
You were going to talk about the planting, calendar planting.
The calendar, yeah. The calendar is a part that a lot of people find a bit daunting. That's why I say to people, don't worry about it at the beginning, but bear it in mind. It is a knowledge that's very ancient. It's probably the most ancient human knowledge. If you come across any sort of indigenous peoples around the world, they'll usually use the stars and the planets and sun and moon as their reference points rather than diaries and calendars and all that sort of stuff. So it's a very ancient knowledge. Since the Copernican days, in the days of Copernicus and Kepler and people like that, it's all been relegated in Western science to superstition. But it is a real science, and it's complex in as much as you look at a piece of music, Beethoven or Mozart or Bach or something, and if you're not a musician, which I'm not, it all looks highly complex. But it is intelligible, and not everyone has to be able to read music to appreciate music, listening to it. So the other image I have before I go on is it's a bit like surfing. And again, I can't surf, but I can have a lot of fun in the surf. But you watch people who really know how to surf. They bob up and down, and someone like me says, well, why didn't they catch that wave? And you can see them, they're looking at the waves coming and they're waiting for the wave that's going to do what they want it to do. And then once they catch that wave, they can really optimize the energy in that wave. And the stars and the constellations and the planets are in a way like those waves. And the more you can read them, and the more you can access the positive waves, so to speak, the waves are going to work for you, the better outcomes you're going to get for the same amount of work. So that, in terms of where you can go with that, it's almost infinite. But we usually just start, everyone works with the sun rhythm, summer, winter, summer, autumn, winter, spring. The moon has a summer, autumn, winter, spring every month. So, mostly we move to working with the moon as well as the sun, and then you can get more complex from there. Just some things to note, for instance, when the moon is waning or descending, it's like the earth is breathing in, so it's like the tide is going into the earth. So if you're doing any soil work, cultivation, all that sort of stuff, you want to embed that into a wave that's taking the energy into the earth. You don't want it to be flying out into the cosmos sort of thing. If you're doing things like grafting or any of those sort of above ground things, you do that when the moon is waxing. So, you know, it's just a very brief picture there. Some of the things around full moon, for instance, again, as you can observe, you'll find that at full moon and coming up to full moon and, you know, going away from full moon, but over that sort of week or 10 days, there's more moisture in the top end of the plant. So if you harvest things, it'll either not keep as well of its fruit because it's water laden and therefore will tend to rot more quickly. If you're doing any blood activity with animals, marking calves or lambs, etc., at full moon, very hard to stop the bleeding. They'll bleed profusely at full moon. Surgeons won't operate on a hemophiliac at full moon because they can't stop the bleeding, which is just another example of a professional knowledge that's passed down amongst surgeons but not really sort of spoken about more widely. If you plant seeds at a full moon, you'll tend to get vigorous growth above the ground. You won't get such vigorous growth beneath the ground. In other words, the roots won't be so strong. So often people who plant at full moon get very great germination and great flush, and then it doesn't do so well a bit later on as it grows because it hasn't actually established a good root system. So you have to look below the ground as well as above the ground to get a picture of what you're aiming at. If you're cutting hay, try and do that at new moon or descending moon when, again, all the moisture is in the earth and not in the plant. You'll find your hay dries quicker. So these are just very practical things. You know, timber millers of old always used to know when to cut timber so that it didn't have too much moisture in it, and then you get all this warping and splitting, etc. So it's an ancient knowledge, and we can find our way back into it. You can buy, you know, in Australia we have the astro calendar that Brian Keats puts out. It's a very good sort of starting point for that. And as I say, in the first instance, don't worry too much about it. What I usually recommend for people to start is on every month, there's a planetary alignment that is called Moon Opposition Saturn. What that means in astronomical terms, and that reminds me to say we're dealing with astronomy, not astrology. In other words, when we say Moon Opposition Saturn, if you could look out, you'll see the Moon on one side of the Earth and a 180-degree line, you know, through the Earth, a line straight through the Earth and out the other side, and you'll get to Saturn physically. So it's not astrology, it's astronomy. The Moon has to do with fertility, and Saturn has to do with form. So when you plant things Moon Opposition, or work when Moon Opposition Saturn, you tend to emphasize or support form and fertility. So not because it's the ideal, but it's a really good starting point. I just say to people, start by aiming for Moon Opposition Saturn in the 2 or 3 days leading up to Moon Opposition Saturn every month, which gives you a monthly window to aim for just to get started. As you find your way into it, you'll speak to more people and you'll refine that practice somewhat. That's the way it should be. But to give you sort of ideal times other than that, it gets a bit complicated because there are many different rhythms. So that's why I suggest just start on that one. It's a window, it's a monthly window of opportunity. It'll give you, you know, excellent results, and you can improve on it as you become more knowledgeable and refine your process. So I think that's, you know, I find that a reasonable starting point.
Fantastic. Hamish, we've got a few questions I want to ask you. A couple of them we've already answered, which was about the moon and the Saturn being opposite each other. We've answered that one. And the other one we have already answered is the number of stirring methods. Well, we just covered that with the flow forms come the mechanical stirring and stirring by hand. Now, another question is from...
Can I just say about stirring? You'll hear many opinions, and my suggestion is you listen to them all, and this applies generally to biodynamics, but stirring machines people get very sort of thingy about. Listen to what people have to say, and then do the one that feels right to you, because all I can say to you is that I've heard all the arguments, I've seen all the results, and the worst result is that people don't do anything because it all sounds too complicated, or they get conflicting stories about whether this way of stirring or that way of stirring is the better one or not. So in any of those situations, you know, just check against your own heart, you know, whatever feels right to you and go for it, because I can assure you all these different methods work.